When billionaire baseball player Daniel Norris signed with the Toronto Blue Jays for $2 million, he made an unusual choice: to live in a 1978 Volkswagen van. Despite his wealth, Norris embraces a minimalist lifestyle, working at an outdoor store during off-seasons and living on just $800 monthly. His first major league at-bat? A historic home run. Norris exemplifies the central premise of Stretch, a book that has become required reading for executives at companies like Google and Microsoft. Author Scott Sonnenschein, drawing from his experience witnessing the dot-com crash firsthand, challenges our fundamental assumptions about success. While conventional wisdom suggests that having more resources leads to better outcomes, Sonnenschein reveals a counterintuitive truth. Our greatest achievements often come not from what we acquire, but from how creatively we use what we already have. In the picturesque town of Woodside, California, home to tech titans like Steve Jobs and Larry Ellison, an ironic scenario unfolded during California's worst drought. While nearby communities averaged 1,500 gallons of monthly water usage, some Woodside residents consumed up to 75,000 gallons to maintain lush lawns. This striking contrast reveals how chasing what others have persists even amid scarcity. Our tendency to chase resources stems from four psychological patterns. First, we constantly make upward social comparisons, wanting what others have. Social media amplifies this effect by showing others highlight reels, creating streams of carefully curated images that trigger harmful comparisons. Research confirms this impact. A study sending text messages to participants 5 times daily for 2 weeks found increased Facebook use correlated with decreased happiness and well-being. Second, we suffer from functional fixedness, seeing resources only for their conventional purposes. Like a physics teacher who expects only one way to measure a building's height with a barometer, we miss creative alternatives. This cognitive limitation worsens with age. Studies show older children struggle more than younger ones to repurpose objects from their conventional uses. Organizations suffer similarly. Borders outsourced its online business to Amazon, fixating on physical stores while failing to recognize changing customer needs, ultimately leading to bankruptcy. Third, we accumulate resources mindlessly without purpose. Joshua Milburn's story illustrates this trap. As a successful director at Cincinnati Bell with a 6-figure salary and luxury possessions, he appeared successful but felt miserable. Working 70, 80-hour weeks while accumulating debt, his social comparison group escalated with each promotion, pushing him to chase more until personal tragedies forced him to question what truly mattered. Research confirms this pattern. A study of European professionals found that career chasing led to higher short-term salaries but negatively predicted career satisfaction 7 years later. Finally, we squander resources when we have too many. The dot-com boom exemplifies this, with companies like Pets.com spending $12 million on advertising to generate just $619,000 in sales before collapsing from an $11 IPO to 22 cents per share in just 268 days. Research by Harvard's Nitin Noria and Ranjay Gulati found that while some extra resources help drive improvement by allowing experimentation, departments with excessive resources perform as poorly as those with none. The grass often appears greener elsewhere due to optical illusion. Our own grass is frequently just as lush if we'd only recognize it. The story of Dick Youngling illustrates the power of stretching. When he took over his struggling family brewery in 1985, industry giants controlled 70% of the market. Rather than selling out or pursuing aggressive acquisition like competitor Stroh's, Youngling leveraged his brewery's rich history, created scarcity by limiting distribution, purchased used equipment, and consulted his daughters before expanding. His work with what you have philosophy built Youngling into America's largest domestically owned beer producer worth nearly $2 billion. Meanwhile, Stroh's grow-or-go approach led to collapse, squandering a potential $9 billion fortune. Stretching begins with a fundamental mindset shift that transforms how we view our resources. This perspective includes four critical elements: psychological ownership, embracing constraints, practicing frugality, and seeing potential in overlooked resources. Psychological ownership, feeling possessive about something even without legal ownership, gives us license to transform resources. Store manager Ethan Peters demonstrated this when faced with poorly crafted dresses customers ignored. He cut off the straps, rebranded them as beach cover-ups, and sold out completely. Research confirms psychological ownership increases job satisfaction and improves financial performance, as employees who feel like owners think more creatively about resources. Constraints, rather than limiting us, can spark creativity. Researchers Ravi Mehta and Meng Zhu demonstrated this by having participants write about scarcity or abundance before tackling a university's bubble wrap problem. Those primed with scarcity developed significantly more creative uses for the material. Artist Phil Hansen's journey exemplifies this principle. After developing a tremor that prevented him from creating his pointillist art, a neurologist advised him to embrace the shake. Hansen discovered that constraints didn't just force him to work through limitations, they helped him work better because of them. Frugality, eliminating waste rather than being stingy, creates greater value. Bob Kierlin, founder of industrial supplies company Fastenal, might be America's cheapest CEO, staying at Red Roof Inns and wearing secondhand suits despite his immense wealth. This mindset built Fastenal into a company whose stock outperformed nearly every other security over decades, delivering a staggering 47,782% return. Yet this frugality funded generous employee training, bonuses, and innovative ventures like industrial vending machines that actually helped customers buy less while creating loyalty. Finally, stretchers see value where others see nothing. Jenny Dawson transformed food waste into premium products through her company Rubies in the Rubble, rescuing cosmetically imperfect produce that grocers reject. Her company employs struggling individuals, including those with disabilities, embodying its mantra, "Everything and everyone is unique and has value." This perspective shift, seeing richness where others see scarcity, allows stretchers to nurture and develop existing resources in remarkable ways. When Netflix faced challenges improving its movie recommendation algorithm, Cinematch, outsider Gavin Potter achieved remarkable results using psychological insights rather than complex mathematical models. Despite his limited resources, just a bedroom, vintage Dell, and teenage daughter as math consultant, Potter's unconventional approach helped the winning teams reach the 10% threshold. This demonstrates how breadth of experiences helps people stretch. Research shows that experts often stumble in rapidly changing fields, with practice accounting for only 1% of performance in many professions. Phil Tetlock's 20-year study found experts were no better than average people at forecasting important events, with well-rounded individuals consistently outperforming specialists. At Innocentive, scientists solving problems outside their expertise outperformed specialists. Biologists solved more chemistry problems than chemists. Experts become cognitively entrenched, while outsiders bring fresh perspectives. Women scientists, often denied access to traditional networks, showed 23.4% greater problem-solving success than men precisely because they weren't constrained by traditional approaches. Story Musgrave's unconventional journey exemplifies this multi-C rule. This high school dropout worked as a mechanic, joined the Marines, talked his way into Syracuse University, and eventually accumulated degrees in mathematics, chemistry, medicine, physiology, and literature. His diverse background uniquely prepared him to lead the critical Hubble telescope repair mission, approaching it like a surgeon operating on a patient. When the Exxon Valdez disaster led to the creation of the Oil Spill Recovery Institute, program manager Scott Pego faced the seemingly unsolvable problem of recovering semi-frozen oil from Arctic waters. Turning to outsiders through Innocentiv, he found his solution from John Davis, a chemist whose summer job pouring concrete provided the perfect analogy, using vibrators to restore flow in hardening materials. Design firm IDEO systematically creates these connections through four steps: exploring widely with curiosity rather than specific goals, making resources accessible through cataloging and sharing, using analogical reasoning to apply solutions across domains, and regularly testing ideas, expecting most to fail. Even specialists benefit from cultivating an outsider's perspective. Nobel Prize-winning scientists are significantly more likely to engage with the arts than either average scientists or the general public. Google chairman Eric Schmidt advocates reuniting art and science, reminiscent of Renaissance figures who wrote poetry and built bridges. Robert Rodriguez, a 23-year-old aspiring filmmaker, participated in a pharmaceutical study to earn $3,000 to fund his movie. During his month-long confinement, he wrote the screenplay for El Mariachi. Instead of pursuing conventional filmmaking requiring substantial funding and industry connections, Rodriguez embraced constraint, using only what he had available: a friend's ranch, a borrowed pit bull, condoms filled with fake blood, and desk lamps for lighting. When faced with challenges like a jamming machine gun, he adapted his filming technique rather than seeking expensive alternatives. His opportunistic approach incorporated unplanned elements he encountered, like a coconut stand that became a scene. Though initially offered just $25,000 for distribution, his $7,000 film was eventually purchased by Columbia Pictures for roughly $500,000, grossed $2 million, and launched his career. While conventional wisdom suggests you can never be too prepared, excessive planning prevents action. General McClellan's failure at Antietam exemplifies this planning paralysis. Despite having Lee's battle plans, McClellan delayed action for 18 critical hours when enemy troops appeared in unexpected locations, allowing Lee to consolidate forces and escape to Virginia. Research across 2,496 organizations shows only modest correlation between planning and performance. Stanford professor Kathy Eisenhart found that executive teams making quicker decisions actually used more information and alternatives than slower teams, but focused on real-time data rather than future forecasts. These quicker firms consistently outperformed competitors because they learned from doing rather than speculating about uncertain futures. When we structure conversations with predetermined speaking orders, whether in classrooms or meetings, we prevent people from contributing at the most relevant moments. Malcolm Brenner's psychology experiment revealed that people struggle to remember what's said by those who speak immediately before or after them, as they're mentally preparing to speak or recovering from speaking. This planning mode blocks our ability to process real-time information, making us miss valuable insights. Viola Spolin, the mother of modern improvisational theater, developed theater games to teach resourcefulness to inner-city children, showing them how to listen to their surroundings and act quickly with what they had. Her techniques, refined by Del Close and popularized through Second City Comedy Troupe, emphasize the power of listening and building on others' contributions through the yes-and approach. When Dr. Angus Wallace performed emergency surgery on Paula Dixon at 30,000 feet, he demonstrated the power of improvisation. With a punctured lung threatening her life and no time to land, he created a makeshift operating room using brandy as sterilizer, scissors for incision, a coat hanger to insert tubing, and Evian water to drain trapped air. By taking immediate action rather than waiting for ideal conditions, he transformed the airplane into a hospital. In 1891, a horse named Hans amazed European crowds with his apparent mathematical abilities. His owner would ask Hans questions, and the horse would tap his hoof the correct number of times. Despite investigation by experts who found no evidence of trickery, it wasn't until 1907 that psychologist Oscar Pfungst discovered Hans was responding to subtle body language cues from questioners. When hands reached the correct answer, his questioners would unconsciously lean forward or change their facial expression, signaling him to stop tapping. Like clever hands, we too react to expectations set for us, which can profoundly impact our achievements and well-being, even when based on false beliefs. Harvard psychologist Robert Rosenthal discovered that experimenters' expectations influenced their rats' learning abilities. Animals performed better when researchers believed they were intelligent. Building on this work, Rosenthal partnered with elementary school principal Lenore Jacobson to test this effect in classrooms. They randomly identified 20% of students as having high academic potential and told their teachers. 8 months later, these randomly selected gifted students showed dramatic IQ improvements. First graders gained 27.4 points versus 12.0 for other students. The teachers' altered expectations had created a positive prophecy, giving more attention to supposed star students who then worked harder to meet these expectations. This Pygmalion effect extends to workplace interactions too. Our preconceptions about new colleagues, whether positive or negative, influence how we greet them, what questions we ask, and how we smile, ultimately pushing them toward becoming either the jerk or great guy we expected to meet. Job interviews demonstrate this powerfully. Recruiters who form positive pre-interview impressions create warmer environments, ask different questions, and spend more time selling the company rather than vetting qualifications. Sarah Breedlove Walker, born to formerly enslaved parents in 1867, transformed from a struggling washerwoman earning $1.50 daily into Madam C.J. Walker, America's first black female millionaire. Despite facing racial discrimination and poverty, Walker refused to accept society's low expectations. Starting with just $1.25, she built a hair care business helping balding women regrow their hair. Her greatest innovation wasn't just her products, but how she elevated others, training black female sales agents who earned $5 to $15 daily when white workers made only $11 weekly. Walker didn't discover opportunities, she created them by changing her own expectations. While many wait passively for opportunities, Walker insisted on making my own living and my own opportunity. She transformed constraints into advantages, seeing challenges as opportunities rather than threats. When labeled as threats, challenges restrict creativity and problem solving. When viewed as opportunities, they inspire innovative resource use. Roy Choi, a Korean-American chef who rebelled against his parents' traditional career expectations, transformed the food industry by creating an unlikely combination: gourmet restaurant-quality food served from a mobile truck. After graduating from the Culinary Institute of America and working in upscale hotels, Choi partnered with Mark Manguera to create Korean BBQ tacos, selling them from their Kogi Korean BBQ truck. This innovative fusion grossed $2 million in their first year and launched the gourmet food truck revolution across America. While routines are often viewed as boring and inflexible, researchers Martha Feldman and Brian Pentland reveal them as dynamic, creative, and individualized. Even garbage collection, seemingly straightforward, requires creativity as collectors navigate breakdowns, detours, and staffing issues while maintaining consistent pickup times. They reverse routes, collaborate with colleagues, and even repair their own trucks to preserve the routine's consistency. What appears routine from the outside actually requires resourcefulness. Most people define their identities through social characteristics, traits, or roles. While we all possess multiple identities, we tend to segment them, activating only those that match our immediate surroundings. This compartmentalization limits our problem-solving abilities. In professional settings, people often struggle to embrace different aspects of themselves. Engineers have trouble thinking like managers, and cross-functional teams remain stuck in disciplinary silos. The conventional wisdom suggests that multiple identities deplete us psychologically, creating tension between different life roles. However, research contradicts this view. Studies of female executives show that diverse roles actually increase life satisfaction and sharpen managerial skills. our professional skills can enhance our personal lives too, as when using structured performance reviews in relationships. In South Africa's Valley of a Thousand Hills, Neville Williams faced apparent trade-offs between economic development and environmental protection when bringing electricity to impoverished communities. Rather than choosing one priority over another, Williams found harmony by using solar energy to create sustainable power while convincing residents to purchase the technology themselves. This ownership model ensured better care of the equipment while improving education and spurring local business development. When facing seemingly opposing forces, we can take two approaches: bucketing, treating elements as fundamentally incompatible, or mixing concepts together to create something more valuable. University of Delaware professor Wendy Smith identifies three critical steps to overcome bucketing: accept the competing demands, recognize the distinct value of each side, and find synergies between them. Stretching requires careful balance to avoid common injuries that can undermine its benefits. Even positive approaches can become problematic when taken to extremes, transforming beneficial strategies into harmful behaviors. Five critical overstretching injuries include turning into a cheapskate, wandering aimlessly, leaping without learning, being cursed by high expectations, and creating toxic mixtures. Each represents a cautionary tale of how good intentions can lead to detrimental outcomes when pushed too far. Edward Wedbush's story powerfully illustrates how frugality can cross into destructive cheapness. Despite building a multi-billion-dollar investment firm from scratch, he lives in a moldy, dilapidated home with a tarp-patched roof while his wife chooses to live elsewhere. His extreme cost-cutting extended beyond personal choices. He refused to replace broken office furniture, delayed employee paychecks, and contested minimal expense reports. These practices led to multiple regulatory fines and what courts deemed morally reprehensible treatment of employees. Psychological research reveals the crucial distinction between frugality and cheapness. While frugal individuals derive satisfaction from smart spending and value optimization, cheapskates experience genuine psychological pain during any financial transaction, regardless of its necessity or value. The pursuit of diverse experiences, while potentially valuable for creativity and career advancement, comes with significant risks. Ronald Wayne's story serves as a stark warning about directionless exploration. As Apple's third co-founder alongside Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, Wayne drafted the company's first partnership agreement and designed its original logo. However, fearing financial liability, he sold his 10% stake for just $2,300 after 12 days, shares that would later be worth billions. His subsequent decades were spent pursuing various ventures without clear direction, ultimately leading to financial struggles and regret. This illustrates how diversity without purpose can lead to missed opportunities and scattered results. Ron Johnson's tenure at JCPenney demonstrates the dangers of overconfidence and refusing to learn from feedback. Fresh from successes at Apple Retail and Target, Johnson implemented sweeping changes at JCPenney without market testing or customer input. He eliminated the store's traditional discounting strategy in favor of fair and square pricing, redesigned store layouts, and introduced new brands while removing old favorites. When sales plummeted 30% and the company hemorrhaged nearly $1 billion, Johnson refused to attend data meetings or modify his approach, insisting his vision would eventually succeed. His 17-month tenure became a textbook example of how past success can breed dangerous overconfidence. Ryan Leaf's story exemplifies how excessive expectations can destroy potential. Selected second overall in the 1998 NFL draft, Leaf couldn't handle the pressure of professional football's demands and criticism. His inability to cope with losses led to hostile behavior toward media, teammates, and coaches. He turned to painkillers to manage both physical and emotional pain, developing an addiction that eventually led to criminal charges and the loss of a promising college coaching career. Research demonstrates that high expectations only create positive self-fulfilling prophecies when they're both credible and internally accepted by the individual. The challenge of combining resources effectively is illustrated by notorious product failures like Gerber Singles, baby food repackaged for adults, which spectacularly failed within 3 months of its 1974 launch. The product demonstrated how merely combining existing resources doesn't guarantee success. Consumers found the concept unappetizing and the marketing confusing. Research into creative success shows that truly effective combinations require balancing novelty with practical utility. Intrinsic motivation drives novel ideas, while performance focus ensures usefulness. Without this balance, combinations can become toxic rather than innovative. Like a map guiding lost soldiers home, practical exercises can strengthen our stretching abilities. The most effective include: just say no. Like Dr. Seuss, who won a bet by writing green eggs and ham using only 50 unique words, intentionally limit resources, whether by reducing team size, tightening deadlines, or constraining budgets, to discover more creative solutions. Find a sleeping beauty. Identify dormant resources waiting to be revitalized. Research shows that organizational renewals typically come from hidden, unused assets. Even in science, important papers can lie dormant for decades. Einstein's influential 1935 paper wasn't widely cited until nearly 60 years later. Go explore. Build a more compelling collection of experiences by dedicating time to explore different fields. Read unusual materials, attend workshops outside your industry, or work alongside new colleagues. Fred Cook, CEO of Golin PR, exemplifies this through the company's Unturnship program, where participants immerse themselves in diverse experiences. Take a break. Research shows that mind wandering enhances resourcefulness. In one study, participants who completed mentally unchallenging tasks that allowed their minds to wander showed 40% improvement in generating novel uses for objects compared to those doing demanding work or resting. Appreciate. Gratitude helps us value what we have and resist chasing what we lack. Research confirms that gratitude reduces economic impatience. Study participants who wrote about gratitude required higher immediate payouts to forego larger future rewards compared to happy or neutral participants. Shop your closet. Instead of acquiring more, learn to maximize what you already have. Courtney Carver's Project 333 challenges people to use only 33 wardrobe items for 3 months, while interior designer Lori Ward built a business around use what you have philosophy. Break it down. Psychology PhD Anthony McCaffrey studied how inventions follow a similar pattern, breaking resources into tiny components to discover hidden functions. His effective two-question technique asks, 1, can it be broken down further? And 2, does the description imply a use? Research shows people trained in this technique solve resource-constrained problems 67.4% more frequently than untrained individuals. The path to stretching begins with a crucial mindset shift. Better use of resources equals better results rather than more resources equals better results. This liberates us from an unwinnable resource race and teaches us to magnify what we already have. By practicing stretching principles daily, we can enjoy work more, build stronger organizations, and achieve greater well-being with what we already possess.